Welcome to Equestrian Movement's First Do No Harm podcast. I'm your host, Katie Boniface, co-founder of Equestrian Movement with Sarah Gallagher. We work with horse riders who want to build a stronger bond and a deeper connection with their horses. In our First Do No Harm podcast, we discuss with other industry professionals how to work with horses to firstly do no harm and secondly support their mental, emotional and physical well-being throughout the training process, so that we have horses that enjoy learning and ask to be ridden. Each episode, we discuss the different influences our training can have and how we can improve our horses' overall athleticism, soundness of mind and body, and emotional fortitude, while strengthening and deepening our relationship with our horses. Each week, I will endeavour to bring to you a new episode on horse riding, training, handling and husbandry, or an interview with other industry professionals to help you address where and why you might get stuck in creating the beautiful union of dancing souls that is the equestrian sport. Are you ready to kick off today's show? Let's get started. Hey team, Katie here from Equestrian Movement. Thanks for joining us for part three of our conversation with Kate from Smiling Horse LLC. If you've loved this conversation and you've taken away any special little gems or aha moments, make sure that you share this episode over on Instagram and tag Kate and I so that we can see what your favorite moment of this conversation has been. Without further ado, let's kick off episode three.
It's so big, right? Because like everything that we do with the horses is facing our own truth and facing ourselves and dealing with how much we don't like ourselves some days. And, yes. And that is hard. It's really interesting. Like attachment theory and then, you know, somatic therapy and whatnot is that experience of like our nervous system is experiencing the world and it gets conditioned by those experiences, and those spirit experiences happen unconsciously and they lock into tension into parts of the body. And if we don't address those experiences from a place where we can process, feel safe and let go of it, then that is going to come up in all of the relationships that we have. And it's quite often the problem that we're facing with our horse, particularly when it's our horse and we're not doing training for somebody else's horse. Quite often the problems that we're facing with our horses are internal conflicts that we haven't been able to negotiate and navigate within ourselves yet, and they're reflecting the how they're experiencing us back to us, and we can't get through it with them because we don't have the tools to navigate it with us. So how are we going to navigate it with someone else?
Yes, I mean, that's so brilliantly said. That's it right there. I mean, that's it. You know, it starts with us. It does. Whatever we struggle with, whatever we don't deal with, that's going to be our perspectives and our realities, whether we like it or not, whether we're aware or not, you know. And I think horses are so wonderful too, because they bring that out, you know, they bring that out. They bring out the stuff that you wouldn't have even been aware of until you work with them. And if I used to struggle a lot with having like the grace for myself, I used to just beat myself up and do all this. And so if that's like your go-to response, that's how you're going to respond to people, that's how you're going to respond to your horses, you're gonna beat yourself and you're gonna beat others up, you're gonna be very harsh, be critical. And I had to go through a lot of healing and forgiveness within myself in order to not be offended when my horses have certain behaviors that I didn't like, or I thought they had certain behaviors that reflected my character, how I trained or whatever. It was an ego, a real ego thing. And, you know, allowing myself to be humbled and allowing myself to face reality a little bit, that's what caused my shift in perspective and my shift in training that, that I'm so grateful for. It was really painful. It was very painful, but I'm so grateful for all of that.
It's uncomfortable, you know, it's, and it's painful, and then it's better. And then it's uncomfortable and painful again.
Yep. And, you know, I think we need to be comfortable with the fact that, there's two pains. There's the pain of choosing not to go through it and face your stuff, and there's the pain of facing your stuff and getting free of it. But one's temporary and one's forever, and I'd much rather go through it than stay stuck and continue to hurt people and horses and myself. You know, it's a balance, and it's hard. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult.
And I've had like lots of different mentors in relation to that, and you do have to just keep finding different people that can support those different areas of growth for you.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing to navigate right there. It's just you know, growing. I mean, your circle gets smaller, and you know what I'm having to learn now is like being alone and lonely are very different things. Being secure within myself and being comfortable with myself, that is translated so much in my horse training and how I work with my horses and how I show up with client horses.
Yeah,
is as I've become more secure with just being in my own company, I find myself. I slow down instead of, you know, trying to problem solve. I'll kind of slow down and take in what's happening easier and better. All just because I've done that for myself. It's practice. It's normal practice for me now. And so when that situation or a new situation arises in horse training and I'm messing with my horses, it's not such a big deal to just say, you know, I don't know the answer to this, but we're going to figure it out. And giving myself the time and the horse the time to do that, you know, beforehand, my ego would have been in my way, you know.
Oh, 100%. And that is such a big thing. And it does always, you know, continue to get tripped up as you go and like experience different things. But finding that security within yourself, that like what's yours and what's somebody else's and what you can contribute to, you know, helping within that moment, it does give you that permission to like have space for the responsivity instead of the reactivity. And it's in that space that you can process and like fully integrate the information and then respond instead of just reacting in that firing quality of relationship. And as you said, like the ego, you know, you don't want to come into the relationship with the horse with the confidence that you can make it do whatever you want, because that's exactly what's going to sit you on your butt with the horse.
It's like
having the confidence within yourself and the security within yourself and meeting the horse where they're at and asking what they need in this moment to best support them is the difference. And it's easy to get tripped up into that ego and that confidence. Like when we used to do it as like in my early 20s, when we used to do the school, I'd be like, oh, I'm due a fall because I'm getting cocky. Like there's going to be a horse that's going to set me on my butt because I'm getting too confident. You can feel, you know, I didn't have awareness of what I was feeling, but I was like, I'm going to fall off soon. And now I know it's because I was like getting too confident in my ability to make horses do whatever I wanted. So you got to have this like space where you're secure within yourself and you don't see, you know, how the horse is behaving as a reflection of like, you know, who you are. It's tricky, right? Because like some of what they're doing is a reflection of your relationship to yourself, but then being able to be secure within yourself that you're not bad, you're not wrong, you know, going into the mind spiral of I'm not good enough and then getting into your insecurities is not the right way to go either. And so you've got to, as you said, have that thing like, I don't know how to work with you or what you need right now. Can you tell me? And then just like expand that toolkit of what different things you can do with them to help them stay engaged in training and learning. It's one of the reasons why I love working with kids so much is like, as adults, we get like really caught in our little box and there's only one way to do something and we have to do it.
Yeah.
Our eyes and cross our T's. And then you watch a kid work with a horse and you're like, oh, that's a really cool way of doing that thing that I was really struggling with. That was like really taxing for me.
Wow. That's really refreshing for me to hear. Because I mean, me growing up, it was always very black and white. It was always, this is the way it's done. There wasn't a lot of room for experimentation. And so I love hearing that you let your kids kind of experiment with how they approach things. You know, it helps them grow. I was on YouTube figuring out how to do stuff, because I didn't always have that freedom of creativity with my horses. A lot of what I did with my horses was pretty. It was a firm hand on what I was doing, because there wasn't a lot of freedom. So that's super cool to hear. I love that.
I think also if you get into the world of positive reinforcement, even if you like get caught up in a little bit of positive reinforcement purity, it's like they have come up with some really wild ways of getting horses to do things because they are like refusing to use any aggressive tools. I'm like, wow, that's actually really cool that you have that. And you know, we get stuck on like, you've got to have their response to the halter, you've got to have them, you know, be manageable and handleable by every single person that they'll ever meet. Like, don't do these things because then they're not going to be a perfectly trained horse. But we've got to think about, you know, they're going to respond to their environment. They're going to respond to the people that are around them. It doesn't matter how perfectly trained they are. They can't, you know, control who they are around other people. It's like, you know, sending a kid to school. You can do all of the things to, you know, shape them. But then they're going to go to school and they're going to be influenced by their peers and their teachers and that kind of thing. And how they respond in that environment, like, you can't be in control. There's like places where you can, you know, establish values and how you would like to the horse to engage with you. But then you also have to give the horse the freedom to share how they're receiving that information from you.
Yes, absolutely. And I think too, that kind of goes back to, yes, horses are our mirrors, but there's some stuff that isn't us and there's some stuff that's just them, and you cannot take it personally. Like, you have to know when the horse is reflecting you or the horse is just struggling in general and needs support. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that finding that line can be very tricky sometimes.
Yeah.
But you know, and sometimes it's a little bit of both. Sometimes it is me, but also this is what's going on. And just kind of offering the support for that horse through that, because you know, people want to give all these like strict hard lines. Well, what if, you know, like you were just saying, well, what if somebody else handles him this way, or you're not preparing your horse for life if you let him play under saddle or whatever. You know, every horse is so different. Every horse has their own stuff, and every horse's relationship with another person is different. Like my horse, he's herd sour with me. You know what I mean? Like, he's to the point where he gets herd sour with me, and I have to like figure out, okay, this is not a healthy thing either for him. We have to figure out how to emotionally regulate this now.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't even leave the room. I don't even know if that one we're still problem solving.
Yeah.
But you know, like, he's not going to do that with everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's horses are very brilliant, and yes we do need to prepare them for life and to be quote-unquote safe individuals, we also have to be secure enough in ourselves that we can let go of control and understand the truth that safety is not guaranteed, and things that are healthy aren't safe. They aren't always safe, and that's just reality. And that's a hard thing, I think, for a lot of people to understand, is that stuff that's genuine and real, it does not equate to safety at all.
Yep. Just when you think like you've got this, you know, beautiful like self-regulated nervous system that has a felt sense of safety and then isn't trying to control your world and your environment. Like, life happens, and then we're like,
oh yeah,
racing in all the weird places, and we forget to breathe, and then we have to like we'll go through the journey with the horse and learn it all again. It's so funny, like so many of the things that I'm learning now are things that I've learned so many times before. It's like we learn so much and then we forget it and then we learn it again. There's a book that I read like in my early 20s called The Four Agreements. Have you read that one?
I haven't heard that.
So it's an interesting one, and I don't really remember much of it, but the one thing that I remember is that the veil dropping. And so it's like the veil that drops, that you can see the truth. And then the book continued to say that that veil will come up again, and then it'll drop again, and it'll come up, and you'll forget what you're learning, and then it'll drop. And it's something that I'm like, I'm really experiencing now, is like I'd kind of forgotten what connection looked like when I was pushing to, be a professional within the industry. And I've had to learn what connection looks like, because I didn't like who I become and I didn't like who I had to be successful. And it's like the veil had come down when I'd worked with my horse, King, because he showed me what it looked like for him to feel safe with me. And it was one thing that I could do to just down-regulate and not show any up energy with him to like help him manage his emotional state. And then, you know, the horse that I have now is like a different experience, and I've been learning it with Pateko breathing and stuff as well, is that it's one thing to just like down-regulate your nervous system, and it's a whole nother thing to bring that social engagement system online and connect. You actually have to like your horse. You actually have to be like, to love your horse, to, you know, keep going and working with them, and not be like emotionally attached to like, I'm going to ride and I'm going to compete and I'm going to jump a meeting and I'm going to be carrying my horse today. It's like wherever you see that first no is where the lesson for the day is. And it's not necessarily the horse's lesson. Half the time it's the lesson. And like how we're going to navigate that no, why that no is there. You know, sometimes a no is not a no. It's just like not right now, or not the way that you just asked me, or go back to the gate, check yourself, then come back in and ask me.
I had a ride like that the other day. There's so many different things, and it is our lesson to learn. It's not theirs, you know. And you're right. Like, you have to so let go of your agenda, and you do have to love your horse, because it is when we do it this way, when it's done this way, it is most definitely a relationship more than it is anything else. And that's something that I think comes a lot of accountability and responsibility, and so a lot of people kind of turn away from it or don't even realize what's going on, because it is a lot of responsibility. A relationship is a lot of responsibility, and if you're not if you don't have the character to be that for somebody, you're in trouble, because you're gonna hurt people, you're gonna hurt your horse. It's a part of it. You have to have the character to show up and be in a relationship. You know, that's where it comes from. The security and the healing is you have to be emotionally mature and available to show up, as silly as it sounds, for your horse. You know, it bleeds out into everything, you know, everything.
Yeah, so true. Relationships are hard. They're even harder when you're not emotionally available. It can be a lot easier, like when you're working with other people's horses, and you can just put them in these little operant conditioning boxes of pressure and release and positive reinforcement, and we can just like condition and shape their behaviors, and look, I can do XYZ and link these behaviors together, and now look what I can make this horse do. because I'm not in relationship with your horse. I'm just your yep. horse's teacher. You're the yep. one that's in relationship to your horse. So you have to hear their full experience for them to thrive. And I think that's yeah. the hardest part, especially with the way our industry is. It's like your horse's experience is going to be pretty rubbish if they're living in a stable, they don't get social engagement, they don't get the freedom to move, they're not getting enough
yeah.
forage. Like, you know, half of the behaviors that we have to deal with is just the circumstances Mint. That we put our horses into. And then the other half is pain.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I could go on and on and on about that. It's just so much of the issues today are because of management. That's literally it. If we could get that in order, I think we'd see a decrease in so many health issues. Oh my word. I mean, just turn your horse out, hoof quality, mental health, you know, just it's, huh. It's so much of just management. That's literally what it is it's just management. Movement. They need movement. They need friends. They need boars. They need freedom. If we could just do that, I think welfare would significantly increase and we would start seeing much happier horses, much healthier horses.
Yeah, 100%. Ah, I love it. I love all your work. I love all your conversations. I love all the things that you teach. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us today and having these conversations with us. If our people are picking up what you're putting down and love what you're doing, they can go over to Instagram and follow you at Smiling Horse LLC. We'll put the link in the show notes. Do you have any sage wisdom that you would love to leave us with?
Face your stuff and be good horse trainers. That's my words of wisdom.
Yeah, face your stuff. Yep.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. And be kind to yourselves. That's all I got.
Thank you so much for your time today. It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you and look forward to talking again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on here. I've enjoyed talking to you too. This has been great.
Thanks for joining us for this conversation with Kate McGooley from Smiling Horse LLC. I'd love for you to show her some love for sharing her time with us. Check her out. I've shared all the links in the show notes below. And until next week, happy trails. If you're loving what you're listening to on the podcast, you might be starting to recognize that trying to control your horse through submission-based training is the worst way to ask your horse to look after you. If you're working with or riding horses, you know how unpredictable and sometimes scary they can be. Unfortunately, most struggling horse riders make the mistake of thinking they can physically control their 400 plus kilo fur babies by moving their feet or spooking them into responding with flags and join up. Without giving your horse a reason to care about you and look after you, you will most likely end up with a horse that is disconnected at best, shut down or explosive at worst, because they can't communicate their needs with you, especially if you are already scared, worried or nervous handling your horse. That's why we've created our new free online training experience, Building a Connection with Your Horse. This is how I've gone about creating safe horses for beginners, no matter the breed or previous handling experiences. If you want to learn the secret sauce behind developing safe horses that care about you and look after you without trauma-triggering training methods, register for our new training today at www.equestrianmovement.com/connection. And I will uncover the three big mistakes you might be making if you're trying to build a relationship with your horse, and how you can start building your horse's trust and confidence in you as a leader worth following.